All right, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to this week's episode of the I Love Changing Lives show. And this episode all was inspired by a documentary that I watched last week. And I would have to say it's in my top five documentaries I've ever seen. And more for the story than it was just for the quality. Like, the story is so powerful in terms of what is possible for the human race when they approach things in a certain way. And for me, there was such a huge connection to the approach that these guys took as part of their journey and to the journey that we have as entrepreneurs. And I wanted to share with you today the business lessons that I learned from this particular documentary that I know a lot of you are really going to connect with and maybe start thinking in a different way about your own current journey. And to start things off, right, the documentary is called The Dawn Wall. And if you've never seen it, I'll give you a short summary, right? It's basically about a free climber and in the end his partner who try and attempt to climb a cliff face in Yosemite. And I think the mountain in Yosemite Park is called El Capitan. And there's been a few people over the years that have created certain paths free climbing to the top of this mountain, but nobody had ever tried the Dawn Wall. Everybody said it was impossible to do because it's so flat. There's just not even enough finger grips or holes to even grip onto to be able to climb it, right? Which is just mind-blowing when you see the footage because the whole thing is filmed and it's pretty insane, right? And throughout their journey, these things happen, and I'm going to relate the things that happen in their story to probably things that are happening within your business and your entrepreneurial journey right now, or maybe over the last year or so. And for me, first things first, when you're looking at becoming an entrepreneur, you're looking at starting a business or product or program or anything else, is that you want to find your area of mastery. And what resonated with that in this story for me was the fact that this guy growing up at school was classified as mentally retarded. And one fact for a lot of you is if you're not aware of it, a lot of entrepreneurs actually get classified with learning disorders, right? ADD, which was me, slow learners, not able to keep up, learning disabilities. Dyslexia is huge in high level entrepreneurs and big thinkers. And this guy was classified as mentally retarded, but his dad wasn't willing to take that view. His dad was this big bodybuilder, mountain climber, everything else. And rather than looking at his son, who was very small, underdeveloped, and was told he was mentally retarded at school, he started to take him climbing, started to take him on all of these crazy adventures until at the age of 14, it just clicked. Like, he knew that this climbing and free climbing in particular was exactly what he wanted to do with his life. And I'm sure some of you in some way, shape or form, whether it's helping people, whether it's creating certain things, whether it's designing, whether it's, you know, all of these different areas of mastery that we can decide we want to own, whatever that is for you, own it, right? Decide what that key element is for you, that if you could do it every single day of your life, all right, then that would excite you, that would fulfill you. And I'll give you a quick analogy that I always love, is that Bruce Lee was never afraid of the guy that had 1,000 moves, right? Or 10,000 moves, right? He was afraid of the guy who'd done one move 10,000 times. All right, hopefully you understand what I mean by that. It's finding that area of mastery and deciding to just go all in, to go as deep as you can within that zone of genius, within that thing that's just yours, or that you decide you want to make yours. All right, and in business, if you haven't done that yet, or if you're not clear on that yet, start thinking about what is your area of mastery, because you can have an area of mastery inside any niche, right? Like you can be in the fitness niche and your area of mastery is rehabilitation, or your area of mastery is fat loss, or your area of mastery is hormone rebalancing or diabetic, you know, rehabilitation, or, you know, blood pressure, whatever it is, right? If it's in the design space, maybe you're a graphic designer and you specialize in banner ads, or you specialize in magazine cover art, or whatever it is, right? You can decide what your area of mastery is. When we try and have multiple areas of mastery, that's when we don't own anything, right? We try and be the jack of all trades and we never own anything, and people don't ever identify us with being a master in anything, okay? Next point here, right, is that the only opinion that matters is yours. So think about it in relation to this guy's journey, right? That he was told he was mentally retarded. He was told he was underdeveloped. He was told all of these things that he couldn't do, right? He was told by everybody that the Dawn Wall could never be climbed, that it was impossible. All of these things happened throughout his journey, and he could have adopted those opinions and created his own beliefs around them. But instead, his dad won through practical application, tried to show him that he was possible, that more things were possible for him. But from his own perspective, he had to decide whether he was going to believe that what everybody else was saying, what everyone else's opinions were, that things were possible or weren't possible, that he was able to or he wasn't able to. And it's the same with a lot of you in business. Regardless of what stage in business you're at right now, maybe you're looking to transition and create a new product, a new program, and everybody's telling you you can't do that, or you can't earn that, or, you know, people aren't going to connect with you because you've never done that before, whatever else, right? And maybe it's your current business as you're trying to grow it to a certain level, and people are saying that's not possible. You can't do that and work less hours. You can't do that without being the one person in your business who does it all, right? All of these different opinions that people like to place on others most of the time because they're not willing to look at themselves, but that's a different conversation. My point here is that, are you allowing other people's opinions, other people's judgments, other people's beliefs to dictate what you do or don't do, or what you believe is possible and isn't possible? All right. I love this next one. And for me, I think in life, if you don't do this at some level, you're selling yourself short, right? And it's to dream big regardless of certainty. All right, and so many of us, we have these big dreams, right? We have these big wishes, but the difference between a dream and a vision is that it's a dream, I don't ever attach a level of belief to it. It's just cool to think about. Whereas for me, a vision, right, is something that I know I'm going to achieve. I know that's what I'm gonna work towards, and I'm gonna do it even if I'm not certain how. So when I say dream big without certainty, for me, it's more about creating that vision rather than just the wish, right? And if I can dream and piece together every element that I want that thing to be, or that life to be, or that product to be, or that program to be, or whatever it is, and if I can see that, even without the certainty in terms of the how I'm going to make it, and I work towards that every day, even without the certainty of, am I getting closer or further away? Do I know all the steps it's gonna take to get there or not? Right? Because think about it in relation to what this guy did. I mean, to climb something that every single professional climber in the world, every single one of them said it was impossible. Every other top free climber in the world had gone to Yosemite, to El Capitan, had done either a new route or the same route as everybody else. But no one ever even dreamt of going for the Dawn Wall, except this guy, right? And the crazy thing is, he did everybody else's route in something stupid, like something like 8 or 9 weeks. He did what everybody else had done in the entire history of El Capitan, that mountain. He did it all. He did all of their runs and created new runs in like a 9 week period, right? Which was just nuts. But the reason why he was able to do that comes back to my next point now, is that he had a single focus. All right, when he decided that for him, not only was climbing going to be his life, But doing things that somebody had never done before, finding routes that nobody had gone down before, taking on challenges that everybody said he couldn't do, right? He just adopted this single focus. And at periods of time in his life, you know, his wife left him. He got divorced. He fell in love with somebody else. And that was the only love he had ever had in his entire life outside of climbing. Right? And yet, regardless of that, every single day he was there, he was on the mountain. And when we get to a couple of other points I'm going to share with you, it took him 6 years just to try and climb down, work out if they could climb this one little section, then come back a couple of weeks later or the next year and work out if they could piece together these two little sections of this Dawn Wall face that nobody had climbed before. But never once was he able to piece together the entire thing all the way until the day he tried to climb it, right? And he ended up getting a training buddy to do it with him. And I'll explain how cool that was later. But the fact that he had this single focus and he couldn't see it all, he had no certainty around it, he started to put together different pieces that he could see, that he could try to make work, right? He could try and get to that point or to a certain point, but yet he still didn't know how he was going to put the whole thing together yet. But it didn't stop him for 6 years, right? Doing this, never climbing the entire thing, only climbing these little bits. And you think about that in your business, right? Like if you had a single focus, and that single focus was to be the very best at what you did. And even if you can't see the entire path yet, but you can start owning the little sections, you can start owning the member care, you can start owning your marketing, you can start owning your clients' results, you can start owning different elements of your business. Even if you can't see the entire journey to your end vision yet, you can still own those things and you can do them consistently, regardless of whether you think they're better or not yet. If you're not at the end result, if you haven't climbed to the top of your vision, right? Do you stay the course? Do you stay focused? Or when it gets tough and you don't know if you can make it through the next section, do you stop and then get distracted and go do something else? Right? For me, it's such a powerful business lesson. And the guys that are at the top of their game, they have a single focus. They don't allow themselves to be distracted by social media and all this other bullshit. They don't care about that crap. It's not even in their world. They don't care how many likes they get. They don't care about doing Facebook Lives. They don't care about if they have a content plan, right? They don't give a shit. They just want to see their business get closer and closer to their vision. And then they want to see that vision evolve, right? And for me, this was such a great representation of watching this guy attempt after attempt after attempt and not knowing and trying to map it out. And like, it was just crazy. He had to build a certain section at his house just to be able to try and do this jump over and over again, which he never did successfully before the day that they attempted to do it. Never, right? And I'll share that with you in a minute. But I think for me, having that single focus and then next, all right, deciding whether or not you're going to allow challenges to dictate your outcomes in life or not, right? And the example I give you from this movie is this guy is a free climber, right? And they're renovating a house and he's got a drop saw, right? So whatever you call it, you know, one of those huge blades that cuts big planks of wood. You can tell I'm not very practical when it comes to woodwork, right? But he was doing this and he was going through a narrow bit and it caught and it dragged his index finger through the saw, cut it clean off, right? They had to find it in a bush somewhere, put it on ice, take him to hospital. After something like 12 surgeries, they couldn't save it, right? So those of you who aren't on video, that's what he was left with, right? So he basically, his index finger, he only had the little stump at the bottom where the first knuckle was. Everything else was cut off. And in climbing, even listening to all the climbing experts, everyone said the way that you climb is you have your index finger there that's locked in with your thumb. That's how you lock onto certain grips and hold. And with the strength that they have, that becomes basically like a hook for these guys. It's that strong and unbreakable. And now he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. So again, rather than being deterred by that, he found a little rock, every single day. He went out there. He was faced with this challenge. His whole life he'd been climbing this certain way. Everybody told him now his climbing career was over. Like what he used to do, he couldn't do, right? But then every day on this little rock, he'd just keep trying and trying and trying and trying until he taught himself a new way to climb, right? And think about how that relates to you. Like if you're trying to get leads into your business, or you're trying to generate customers into your business or grow a certain aspect of your business and it doesn't work, and maybe you lose a staff member, right? Or maybe you lose a huge client, right? That finger got chopped off in one go, bang. Do you then give up? Do you allow that challenge to determine your outcome? Right? And I've been faced with so many challenges over my life. Like I've had to claim bankruptcy. I had my kids run away. I've had to sell my house and throw it into my businesses and swipe my FPOS card to make sure I could pay staff. Like I've been faced with so many challenges in life. And at some point you got to realize that, is that challenge going to dictate my outcome or not? Or do I just take it as part of my journey, learn what I need to from it, and keep charging forward? Find a new way to climb. Right? Adapt to the new environment and thrive within it. And for me, that's such a powerful business and life lesson. And to watch this guy over and over and over again. And when I shared with you before that he did everybody else's climb in like 9 weeks, that was after he'd lost his finger. Right? So not only did he lose a finger and everyone said he couldn't climb again, but he did what everybody else did in 9 weeks. Some of them he did 2 in 1 day. Like he started to set speed records for these things and he was minus a finger, the most critical finger that you need to climb, right? So again, it's why for me, it's such a powerful business lesson, is to decide at what point do you allow what's happening to you or the challenges that you're facing to determine the results and the outcomes that you get, right? Or that, you allow to either stop you or to drive you to keep moving forward. For me, these two are in line, but I love it. Like his dad, who was this larger-than-life character, right? With this scrawny little kid, he could have easily, why me? My son's not as good, and adopt everybody else's beliefs like we talked about earlier. But instead, he decided that one of the most powerful gifts I can give my kid, one of the most powerful things that every human being needs, is resilience, right? The ability to fall down and get back up, the ability to keep going despite what you're faced with, to keep trying despite the amount of failed attempts, the resilience to stay the course, even if it feels like no matter how many attempts you make, you can't quite get there, right? And I think that's so powerful in every aspect of life and business, is in line with, again, allowing certain challenges to dictate your outcomes, having that single focus, but having the resilience to stay the course, to cut through everybody else's bullshit and opinions, to be on the brink sometimes of risking it all, right? Of falling and, having to start right back from the bottom again. Having the resilience to do that over and over and over again. Like watching this guy trying to do these certain things for 6 years, right? Never ever quite getting there. Was just like, man, it shows you what we can do when we decide and when we lock in on something and we just go regardless of how long, which is something I'm going to touch base on in a second. But in line with resilience has to come consistency. Because if I'm only resilient for a certain amount of time, if I'm only willing to push through a certain level of thing within my business, like let's say staff are a pain in the ass in your business right now, and you're resilient, you lose staff, you hire staff, you lose staff, you hire staff, people aren't doing what you need them to do. So you retrain, you retrain, you retrain, right? You're trying to get your team to be a highly focused and, powerful team. But again, it happens and you lose another team, two staff members, boom, done, right? And that's it, that's you done, you give up, right? Or you decide to turn the cheek or whatever, these people annoy me, I'm not gonna own this anymore, right? So your resilience only had a certain period of time. When you attach consistency to resilience, it's a unbeatable formula. You attach a single focus to resilience and consistency, and then you shut out the noise of everybody else's bullshit, nothing in this world will stop you from what you want. There is nothing that you cannot achieve. If you can adopt those characteristics, those values, and that level of determination, right, to achieve what you want. For me, it's the most powerful formula that you can apply to any aspect of your life, right? Like the resilience to avoid eating shitty foods for a certain amount of time, right? Without the consistency of, do you know what? I'm not where I want to be yet. I haven't climbed to the top of my cliff face yet. So am I deciding that I'm only going to be resilient for this long and then the holidays come up and, you know what, my consistency goes out the window and so does my resilience. Versus, you know what, it's going to be a trying time. Again, like there's certain parts of this climb that this guy had to do that literally he would do it for 2 months straight every day, 2 to 4 hours a day. He would try and do one section and he couldn't do it. He couldn't get past it. Right? Regardless of all of those attempts, he never made it. But it didn't stop him. It didn't stop him from turning up every single day. It didn't stop him from making the next attempt and the next attempt. Right? And I think you've got to relay that back to where you are in your business or what it is that you want in your life right now. Are you willing to go all in at that level? And if you're not, you just got to understand that your results represent that. And they always will. There'll always be a direct correlation between the two. I love this next one because it was such a cool part in the story, right? But there was one section in this climb, and it was the one I was telling you about before where he made the two distances that he had to try and jump and literally grab on with the side of his fingers. Like he had to jump, I think it was like 10 foot across. So he was flat, right? He had this little foot grip for one heel and he had to try and thrust himself, jump and grab on with the side of his hand. So it was only a little curve on the side of the hill because everything else is so flat. And he never made it. And he got to the point where he just traversed over, which was a part of the mountain that everybody said was the biggest reason why you'd never be able to climb it. Because this whole entire section was so flat, there was no way to go up. So they had to traverse across, right? And it was only like 15 foot they had to traverse across. And then, sorry, the jump was 8 foot, right? And he never made it. But the night that he got across, he was looking at this jump and he attempted it once. He didn't make it, right? And when you free climb, if you don't make it, you got to go all the way back to the previous hook, right? You can't just start where you fall. You got to go back to wherever you hooked in last. And then it doesn't count as a free climb unless you start again, right? So he went back to there and rather than jumping, after 6 years of doing this, after 6 years of trying, thinking that that was the only direction, that was the only path he could see, suddenly he looks down. So he's on this massive cliff face. He looks down and he sees, hey, do you know what? There's quite a few jagged rocks below me. And one of the biggest things about free climbing is that you almost never climb down. Right? You always climb up because climbing down is really difficult, right? Because the way your grips work and your feet work and everything else. And in business, it's the same. Sometimes taking a step backwards is the one direction we're not willing to look at, right? So after attempting this thing for 6 years, he decided that instead of jumping 8 foot, right? Instead of taking the one jump to achieve the end result, he climbed down and came across and it was like 22 feet. It took him. And he found another path to get up to the other side. So rather than trying to do this 8 foot jump that he'd never been able to do, right? A lot of us being able to get to 100 grand a month is this big leap that sometimes we try and do it in one jump or we try and go to the next level of our business in one jump. And we're not willing to go around the long way. We're not willing to go backwards to then go forward sometimes if the direction is clearer, if I'm able to find a path that's going to work better that I know I can make. And he did it, right? So this one section that he'd never been able to jump, suddenly after 6 years of never seeing the path, he looked down, he found a path, he went 22 feet to end up 8 foot from where he was, right? Which like blew everybody's mind. His partner was like, what is this guy doing? Like, I can't believe he's doing it. But he knew after so many attempts that he either had to make the attempt or he wouldn't be able to go on to the next phase. And these guys weren't even halfway up the hill, up the face yet. But suddenly being there in the moment, because he kept trying, he was there, He suddenly found this new path. He found this new perspective that he had never seen before. And I feel like in business, it's so true. Sometimes, unless you're in the game, unless you're still trying, unless you're still there making attempts, being consistent, you'll never see the path that right now you can't see. Sometimes looking back to see if there's a better way to go forward is the only option, but sometimes it's the one option we're not willing to even look at. And I think that's so powerful based on wherever you are in your business, whether it's the big leap you need to take, whether it's we need to find the longer course round to end up where we need to go, right? At some point, you're gonna benefit from taking on that perspective. And in this scenario, it was just crazy to see what he actually did to end up just 8 foot from where he was. All right. Next one here, and I've touched on it before, was time is irrelevant. All right. And what I mean by time is irrelevant is that these guys set themselves 2 weeks to do the climb. And the traverse part, which is the hardest part pretty much of the whole entire thing besides this 8 foot jump, it took them 2 weeks just to get across. And the partner that this guy had, who hadn't been climbing for as long, but he specialized in boulder climbing. So rather than just free climbing, he specialized in like big boulder climbing, which is lots of big, powerful moves, jumps, lots of strength, right? Whereas free climbing, it's a bit more fluid, and obviously it's a lot, they go on a lot bigger routes. And these two guys have partnered up. And anyway, the main guy here made it across. He traversed over, right? And then that's when he found that path to go around the 8 foot jump. But then when he got up to the next point, right, they would always come back down to the base camp. So as long as they got the hook in there, it meant they could come back to the base camp and then start from that next hook the next day or whenever. But his partner kept not making it. One day went past. And in a day, they would lose so much skin off their fingers because the grips were so small that they would need to wait a day or 2 days to let the skin heal enough that they could attempt it again. And this went on for a week, right? And this guy decided, okay, cool, well, look, while you're waiting for that, come up with me and I'll go to the next thing and then we'll come back down to base camp. And they kept doing this. And mind you, base camp was a little tent hanging off the side of this cliff face, like crazy stuff. But why I say time is irrelevant, this guy got to a point where it was like, do you know what? Like, I don't care how long it's gonna take you. We're gonna sit here. If we have to wait 2 days or 3 days for your skin to heal, suddenly it rained for a day and they couldn't do it, or the weather wasn't right so they couldn't do it. And again, they just kept waiting. In his mind, time was irrelevant as long as they could hit that next hook, as long as they could get through that one section to then be able to take on the next section, the next section. And when he realized it, you watched his whole demeanor change. He had this focus of being able to get there in a certain time frame. And then when he realized that, you know what, it just didn't matter. It took the pressure off his partner. It allowed his partner to just keep trying to attempt it regardless of how long and what it took him to heal and then go again. And he just sat there and he just cruised and he goes, you know what? Nice attempt, nice attempt. And he was just with him to support him because he'd let go of the attachment that this had to be done in a certain time frame. Because right now these guys were approaching something that had never been done before. And I feel in business, so many of us would benefit from letting go of the attachment to time. Right, that we should achieve something by a certain time frame, that we should be at a certain point by a certain time frame, that I should have X amount of money by this point, or that if I attempt this for so long and it's not working, it can't work. Right, that's a huge one I see all the time. Like, I've done it for so long and it's not working, it must not work. Right, think about this dude. He climbed this thing for 6 years and everything that everybody had told him about it was impossible was ringing true. Right, he was seeing that it was, no matter what he was attempting to do and putting these things together, he couldn't find a way to get all the way up yet. Right, but what's the differentiator? He didn't care about how long it was going to take. He didn't let the fact that it had been 6 years, he didn't let the fact that his partner was taking a week to get past, to even do the multiple attempts on this 15-foot traverse. And for me, it's just so powerful, because when you can let go of time, and I say it to my clients consistently, how long are you willing to work 5-6 days a week to do what you need to put in the work, to deal with staff shit, to work on your Facebook ads, to do all of this stuff, to end up with a business that generates exactly what you want, or to end up living the lifestyle that you want, to be able to have the things that you want in your life, and to be able to do what you want with your time in your life with who you want, right? Like, what is the limit? Because for some reason, people attach their limit to a time frame that isn't real. No one fucking came along and went, do you know what? That's as long as you've got, right? In life, sure, that's some context, but if people would work as hard as they could for longer, right, what they would be able to achieve compared to only working hard for a certain amount of time and then giving up and then trying again and then giving up, it's two different worlds. And for me, it's not the flashy ones. It's the guys that get up every day and they have the resilience, they have the consistency, and they have the single focus, right? Those are the ones that win, and they're not attached to time. They don't give a shit how long something takes, as long as they feel like they're moving forward, as long as they're getting through that next section, or as long as they find another path to get to the next section. All right, which leads me to my second last point here. This guy got through, right? And he kept going up, kept going up, kept going up. And he got to a certain point, which is the only ledge, right? And when I say ledge, it's like this little 2-foot by 2-foot ledge, right? And I can't remember what they call it, but it's the only point you can stand up. So like when you're there, you can actually stand on this ledge, which is on this sheer face. And he got there and he was like, man, it's huge, because everybody knows once you make it there, you can pretty much make the top, right? Like a few people have climbed down to the ledge, but then never been able to go any further past that, right? So once he got to that point in his mind, he was like, he was 90% there. And it was just so huge. And he had this, you know, all of this elation and this feeling of like, oh my God, like I've pretty much done this thing that everybody said was impossible. And then suddenly he started crying, because he started to realize that it didn't mean as much for him to make it if his partner couldn't make it. These two guys have been, you know, month in, month out, day in, day out, over a 6-year period trying to piece this thing together. And suddenly here he was, almost there, but his partner was still stuck trying to do this 15-foot traverse. And the news crews and everybody was like recording this. This whole entire story was one of the biggest viral news stories in the world ever. That's how big this story got. And it was this whole human emotional connection to the fact, like, would he leave this guy there or would he go back? Like, what would he do? And going back to what I said about time is irrelevant, he decided, you know what? I'm going to go down. I'm going to help him. And we're going to stay as long as we need to do that. And after, I think it was 9 days, his partner finally made it, right? And not only did his partner finally make the 15-foot jump, he also made the 8-foot jump that this guy couldn't do. Right, so he made the 15-foot traverse and then he landed the 8-foot jump and the grip. And it was just insane to watch the fact that for him, if he couldn't lift this other guy up, if they couldn't finish together, then it didn't mean the same for him. And for me, how I connected to that is that if I can't help others achieve what I achieve, or if I can't lead the way and lift others up with me, I'm never going to achieve that same level of fulfillment. I'm never going to have the same level of impact that I could have with my time on this planet. And if that's one of your highest values and you create transformational programs and products or whatever else, I hope that you and I connect on that level, because for me, I would have to say it's the reason why I do what I do, right? It connects directly with my kids and wanting to do the best thing for them. It connects directly with my clients and having the connection that I have with them and only working with people that I know truly care about others and want to help others along their journeys as well, right? Because for me, that's the best part about being an entrepreneur, is you get to create change. You get to have a sense of impact in somebody else's life and then in the lives of the people that they are associated with. So you get that ripple effect all across the board. And to see the significance that it meant for this guy to go down and watch his partner do it, for them to finish together, for them to be up the top and share this moment, you know, it's powerful. And hopefully with your messaging, hopefully with your product and program, hopefully with the mission statement and the values that you have within your business, and in some ways for your life, you're connected to that. And the fact that if you can lift others up, if you can go down and meet other people where they're at and stay with them and help them traverse their 15-foot gap, right? And help them get to their next point so that they can then again follow and find their path to achieve what they want. Like that for me is all the significance I will ever need in my life. And I don't need any of this other BS fake recognition or significance. For me, the amount of people's lives that I impact is all the fulfillment and significance that I will ever need, right? And I hope you guys relate to that, because for me, if you can do that and then you can achieve this last point, which is the legacy we leave, right? If you can impact all of these lives, if you can change people's lives forever, the direction of their life, what's possible for them, their belief system, right? And how they can impact other people. That's a lasting legacy that will never, ever die. It will never go anywhere, right? And it's the same with what I try and do with my kids. If I can impact them and teach them certain lessons that help them live a certain life that then allows them to help other people live a certain life, whether it's as an entrepreneur, whether it's in service, whether it's with their own children, right? For me, that's a legacy that I can leave behind. That's a legacy that will live on when I'm gone, right? And with this guy's story, they are still to this day the only people that have ever climbed that cliff face, right? No one else has still yet to attempt it, because in their mind, they're still attached to the belief system that they can't do it. They're still listening to everybody else's opinions. But I guarantee you that there will be somebody that looks at this guy's story and goes, you know what? I can do that. And whether they follow their path, whether they find another path, whether they spend 6 years trying to attempt it or not, it doesn't matter, because watching this guy do it and watching how he did it is going to leave a legacy for somebody else to realize that that's possible too, or anything's possible. And imagine being this guy's kid who was there watching him, I think at the age of 2, getting to the top of this mountain, being there and meeting his dad up the top, to see that, hey, do you know what? My dad did something that nobody else could do, right? That like news reporters and everybody were calling these guys when they were on the side of the mountain and just asking them why, like why? And you know, to break it down to the simple fact, like I'm doing it because nobody said I could do it. I'm doing it because it's what I was born to do. It's my area of mastery, right? That he took on all the resilient characteristics that his dad, you know, impacted him with, I guess, throughout his younger years. And then the consistency to do this and the single focus to stay the course regardless, right? And then to find a new path and multiple paths along the way to do something and to go a direction that nobody else had gone before, to let go of time and to just be there with his single objective, that single 15-foot or that 8-foot gap on the next step, as being the only thing that he had to worry about. It didn't matter. Time wasn't even part of the thought process or context, right? And then to be able to lift his partner up to get to the top and to leave a legacy now that will go on forever. People will listen to that story. They'll tell the story. People like me get impacted and inspired by what this guy was able to achieve, and his entire journey to get there, right, is massive. So I hope, as always, that you guys got a lot from that episode. If you haven't watched that documentary, go watch it. I think Red Bull does it. I'll put a little picture of it with this episode, whether it's on Facebook or my podcast, or you're getting this on email. Definitely worthwhile checking that out. And if there's anything I can ever do to help you guys move your business forward, to create that vision, to work out the different stages and steps that you need to take to move forward, then, you know, message me on Facebook, send me an email at adam@adammckenzie.com. Head to my website and book a free call, right? It's just adammckenzie.net/free call, right? And let's jump on a call and let's look at where you're at right now and how do we start taking on the cliff face that you're looking to achieve, right? I'm going to own that analogy for a little while. But you guys have a fantastic week. I look forward to connecting with you next week. And whether you watch this on video and you checking out my very gray beard, or whether you're on podcast and you're listening to this while you're driving or running, I hope you've benefited a lot from it. And I look forward to connecting with you guys next week.